Welcome to the Interviews Podcast. Welcome, Interisti, to episode 74 of the Interviews Podcast. We're here to recap the Inter v Bologna matchup in Bologna with goals from the away side coming in the 37th minute from Jan Aurel Bisek from a beautiful cross from Alessandro Bastoni. The match ends 1-0 for our boys in, well, today was white and blue, but yeah, fantastic game. I'm joined here by none other than Inter's favorite Giuseppe, but it's average Joe. Alessandro can't be with us today, so he was gracious enough to join me on the pod. Joe, thanks for coming in. What'd you think of the match?
These are the matches I love the most. The 1-0s, scrapping. Even though you're on your heels the entire second half, you know, there's nothing like them when they end. It's just the reward at the end of it is just beautiful.
Yeah, getting 3 points, obviously huge, increasing our lead in the table to 18 for right now. I mean, obviously Juve has a game tomorrow, but 18-point lead, I mean, it feels like it's pretty much all but wrapped up. But let's go ahead and like jump into the first half of this match. I mean, it looked like the boys came out flying the first 25, 30 minutes. Really felt like we were in control. Bologna almost felt like they didn't know what to do in those first minutes really there. Little disappointing we didn't grab a lead early on. You know, we had some chances. There was a good opportunity for our good friend and our Swiss Army knife, Matteo Darmian. And then we had Barella with a chance clean in on goal. Just really puts it into Skorupski's chest. But given like how that first half started, like what did you take away from that?
You know, I thought both. I think I tweeted, you know, the quality of the match was very high. It was a very high quality match. Both teams were defending incredibly well. Yes, Barella did almost capitalize on that mistake from Christensen, but you know, Bologna were very good as well. I think both teams were just kind of canceling each other out in many ways. It's hard for me to be too critical, because there's just, you know, I don't know what you thought, but I really liked a lot of what I saw, you know, despite the Barella miss. But I just thought Bologna were defending very well too, especially guys like Lukumi and Odegaard. I thought they were very good.
Yeah, I mean, I have no complaints by any means. I mean, yes, I did tweet out that Barella had to finish that, in my opinion. You know, some were saying that was like too easy of an opportunity to miss. I disagree with that part. I don't think it was that easy of an opportunity. I do think he was cleaning on goal. It would have been nice to see him kind of turn it onto his left foot and try to curl it around, you know, far post there. I think he would have had he would have had definitely more to shoot at. And we've seen him being able to do that in the past, obviously with goals that he scored against Hellas last season. And then you could even look at, you know, the Benfica match in the Champions League. It would have been nice to see him kind of duplicate those chances, but it is what it is. I mean, I think he is a bit in his head, it feels like, at times when he has those opportunities. Almost like when he has too much time to think, he overthinks it and does the wrong things in those instances, in my opinion. Regardless, though, it did feel like, I agree with you, it felt like we were in control. Bologna did defend well. You know, those opportunities came from only really like two mistakes, more so. It wasn't really any, like, we were exposing them in the back or really like coming in on clean opportunities. It just was really from two opportunities for Darmian and Barella, really. But then in the 37th minute, we see probably, I mean, typical for Bastoni from what we've seen from him really all season and from seasons past, an absolute peach of a cross. And then we got to talk about the finish from Bisek, the way he was able to adjust his body, head that ball downward and in, into the net. I shouldn't say downward, but like he was able to get downward and then able to head it into the net, and that gives us the lead 1-0. What did you take away from that? What did you see even leading up to that? Let's hear it.
I love that goal so much. I've watched it probably 5 times now, and I'm gonna watch it even more later on. The center back to center back action there, the cross from Bastoni was class. It was one of his best. And then Bisek, the finishing. I mean, to get down like that and to put such a nice header. Did he head it into the ground, or was that?
I think he got down and was able to head it into. I need to rewatch it now.
I need to rewatch it. Yeah,
I thought it was that him heading it into the corner there, but maybe he did go down and up, and the ball went up and in.
I'll watch it again, but yeah,
yeah.
Otherwise, regardless, it was just excellent. I mean, Inzaghi said after the match, you know, those guys deserve more than a dinner, because he used to say that when a fifth, so two fullbacks, the wingbacks, you know, cross to each other and they score, he would treat them to dinner. He said they deserve more than a dinner for that. It was just perfection. Football porn. I loved it so much.
Yeah, I would definitely say a dinner, maybe some gelato afterwards. I mean, obviously, there's got to be some good spots there. But yeah, I mean, just absolute perfection. We need to talk a little bit more about Bisek. I feel like he was one of the signings in the summer that was a little unheralded. Not that people were expecting bad things or anything, but I don't think that he came in with, you know, the high praise that you got from, you know, guys like Pavard and Thuram. But my goodness, what a absolute masterclass of scouting by our guys in Bachin and Auxilio. To sign him for $7 million and then spread out the payments over 3 years is, I was joking that we should be investigated for that, because it is an absolute steal to be able to do that. I mean, what a masterstroke. This kid has improved every match that he's been able to play. And I mean, it's a shame that we have Pavard there, because he deserves to be playing, honestly, in this starting lineup, I would argue. And not that anybody who is starting is playing poorly, but I just feel like with the level he's been able to show, he should be starting. But yeah, let's hear what you think about him and kind of your impressions and how he's grown.
He deserves to be starting. And in fact, I think people were talking about how on Twitter, at least, that, you know, we got to start switching him over to the center. I think that's more of something you start in the preseason. Mm-hmm. And I think we will see that in the preseason next year. Then we'll see Bisek starting in the middle, you know, kind of preparing for when Acerbi or De Vrij leave the summer after this upcoming summer. He's so athletic for a guy his size. He's so technically good for a guy his size. To think this guy was playing in Denmark less than a year ago is stunning. I am so impressed. He could not have handled this coming to a club like Inter from the Danish league any better. It's just been, I'm shocked. I did not think he would. I thought we would end up sending him out alone. We may never see him again.
Yeah.
I'm blown away.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Especially when we saw him at the, I forget if it was, I think, yeah, under, no, the U23 World Cup, where he did look good in some instances, but then he looked like he was easily exposed in other ones. You know, I was a little concerned in his man-marking ability. I felt like a lot of guys, at least when you would look at highlights, and I didn't watch the full games, it was kind of hard for me to anyway. You know, you would see him kind of get turned inside out. Guys would be able to, like, beat him quick on getting in behind him. But obviously, working with Inzaghi has definitely helped him. I'm sure he's learned things from Acerbi and De Vrij and really everybody back there who are class defenders. And to see his maturation has been, I mean, nothing short of brilliant. And yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I do want to see him in the preseason. I was actually, you know, worried, what are we going to do with that center back role? Are we going to try to get Calafiori? Are we going to try to get Buongiorno? Now it's like, yeah, well, if we give him the opportunity in the summer, I mean, there's no absolute need to get one of those guys. I would like to get one of the two. Obviously, I think it would be good for the depth. I think it would be good too, just to have a guy that you rotate. And then with Bisek, the fact that you could go him, if he does, let's say, work in the center, you could put him on the right, center or left. That's awesome. And it allows guys like, whether it's Calafiori or Buongiorno, to have flexibility as well, whether they're on the left side or the center. I mean, yeah, it would be awesome. but he has been an absolute steal of a signing. I mean, you could literally look at every player that we've added, whether it's Thuram, Sommer, Pavard, Bisek, Augusto. I mean, these guys have been home runs. I don't think, except for our depth and forward, I don't think we've really missed. Fratesi, I can't believe I forgot to even mention him. I mean, I don't think we've missed really on a signing, which is not typical. I mean, let's be honest. So we do have some guys that have flopped in the past, and to have it come, you know, just bang, 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 one after another, the way it did. I mean, I'm thrilled with the future, not just for this season and what we can do going into the Champions League, but I mean, for the next 2, 3, 4 years, really, with what we've been able to bring in.
It is the best Mercato since, in my opinion, since 09-10. I think it's been...
Wow, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the only one I think that would rival it is perhaps the 1921, where you brought in Barella, Lukaku, guys like that. But no, I think this is better. I think this is better. I mean,
I think in terms of money spent and value, like what we've got, like really, like what we spent, what, $130 million just on Barella and Lukaku alone that summer.
Yeah, it was a lot of money.
Not even including Sensi, and I forgot who else we brought in that same summer.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. There were a lot of guys brought in that summer. So
it was like 30. So you get 30 for Pavard, 6 for Sommer. I think it was 2.5 or 3 for Bisek this year.
Yeah.
And then you got Thuram on a free.
And then Fratesi for
let's say 40 million just for on those four guys.
That's amazing. For a club who that's in financial, still in financial difficulty from COVID, that's incredible. That's a miracle. I mean, wow. Pepe Morata, again, take a bow. And Auxilio and Bacin, take a bow.
I mean, at this point, I don't know how you don't give Marotta a statue, all kidding aside. Like, the guy, I mean, the way he's been able to navigate everything since COVID and keep us not just afloat, but competitive. You know, that, a lot of us, I know myself, I'll speak for myself. After the we won the Scudetto, I thought that was it. I thought we were going back to the banter era. You know, we're selling Hakimi, we're selling this when Conte's leaving. I thought that was it. Like, how do we keep this going? Granted, the next season, we probably should have still won that second star. I mean, we really were the best team. I'm not trying to disrespect Milan. I think we messed that season up more so than them. I mean, they did what they had to do. Let's be honest. They won every game at the end, but we gave it to them. And, you know,
but never to just forget be able to.
I'm trying to, though. I'm trying to. That's, you know, I said I would die on that hill. I got to eat that for a lifetime. But yeah, it was bad then. Then last season, everything that happened in the league, you know, I was a part of. I know you and Nemo were probably the only two people that I could think of that were still Inzaghi in through all the hardships. I was very angry at 12 losses. I mean, it was the most losses we've had in the league since Mazzarri was manager. And that's why I was upset. Now, obviously, what he did in Europe, fantastic. What he did in the Cups, no argument there. But I wanted better in the league. And I was very angry, let's be honest. And I think we as fans, we can get a little ahead of ourselves, say things that are a little too soon. But it is what it is. He's still here, thank goodness. I'm glad. Listen, I'd rather be proven wrong than proven right. That's how I'm always going to
look at these things. Exactly. And there's no, I mean... There are people who, most of the fan base probably wanted Inzaghi out last season. And there's,
I would say, yeah, if you polled fans, I would say probably between 65-70% of fans wanted Inzaghi.
And as someone who wanted him in, I'll admit there were good reasons to want him out. Like some of the losses were just the one I recall last season that was unacceptable to me. Two of them were at the beginning of the season with Udinese away, and then Bologna away later in the season, and. It was just, I mean, it was rough. It was a rough watch. And I don't blame people for reacting that way at all. It's natural. But, I mean, no ill will. Anyone listening who wanted Inzaghi, don't feel bad at all. Like, never feel bad for that, because there were good reasons to want him out.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we're all... At the end of the day, we're all fans. We're all going to have players that we disagree on, management, you know, decisions that we disagree on. managerial decisions that we disagree on. You know, some people may like, you know, Darmian starting this one. I actually thought Dumfries would have been better to start this one and then save Darmian for the for Atletico. But given how Darmian has looked a little lackluster recently, I think, you know, again, Inzaghi did the right thing. And I think it's better to have Dumfries for that away match fresh and ready to go. And then maybe towards the end, if you need, it'll be interesting to see how he goes about it. If he wants to maybe Dumfries plays the full 90. I don't know. You know, but it'll be interesting to see how he navigates it, how he decides to line up there. But let's go ahead and finish, you know, going into this match, going into the second half now. It ends 1-0 at halftime. We go into it. Augusto comes off right at the start of the half. Do you think that was maybe a little something that may have been tweaked and they were just trying to be cautious? Or I didn't see anything in the first half that I noticed. Neither I don't know I. if you did.
No, okay. Neither did I. I read a couple minutes ago that he strained his calf, which is unfortunate because he's been really good. He's been really good.
Yeah.
Luckily we have cover. Well, obviously we have DeMarco, so we're fine. But it's just unfortunate for him. He offers defensive solidity, especially late in games.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you know, he subbed on Dumfries and then moved Darmian to the left because I think he wanted to give DeMarco the day to kind of recover. So, yeah, it's unfortunate, but we move.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. Obviously, we come out playing a little bit more defensive, even from the get-go. You know, we're looking to just kind of see this tie out. I disagreed with Nima where he said that Inzaghi has mastered Allegri ball, and I think it's just because I don't want to give Allegri credit for the defensive solidity there. But we did play, I mean, beautifully in that second half. If you're looking at it from a defensive side, you know, just buttoning down and just keeping everything, you know, in front of you, I can only think of really two chances that Bologna had that would have had, you know, opportunities to equalize. The header that was just missed by Orsolini, where, you know, you could say he should have done better there. And then there was that shot from Xerxes that Sommer was able to save. But my goodness, it was beautiful to see just how they were able to be so composed, really. I think that's the most important thing. You know, like there was nothing threatening. They never looked to get erratic, where you could even see, let's even look at last season, where we would have these one goal leads that we're hanging on to for dear life, but there's just chaos at the back and everyone is just discombobulated. A lot of people not being able to communicate, not cover properly. I mean, what did you notice maybe from last season to even this match that kind of stood out to you and how we were able to defend?
Yeah, so the first thing I noticed is just the mentality of this squad is top-notch now. I mean, they're not fazed by anything. Especially, I think that's Inzaghi's influence. I think that's Inzaghi's growth, too. You know, this game really highlighted his pragmatism. In the first half, you know, we were going toe-to-toe with Bologna. It was very entertaining. But then the second half, he starts thinking ahead to Wednesday. He just wants to kind of close up shop a bit more. And Inzaghi wouldn't have done that in the past as much. I'm not saying it's full Allegri ball. It's not. Nima. but it's pragmatism. It's thinking a little bit ahead while focusing on the here and now. And that's because he's trained this group to have a top mentality to handle these situations. If I think back to one match last season that was kind of a 1-0 lead that slipped away, it was Salernitana in like March or April, just before Easter.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when the cross came in from the right side and it just kind of floated into the back of the net late on. Now that loss pissed me off. And it was one of those things where we looked so shaky and no one knew where to be. And it was just so frustrating. But this season, I'm not panicking. You know, they've mastered the dark arts in a lot of ways. Dumfries toward the end there. Writhing in pain when he was barely touched. I mean, they've mastered the dark arts. They know how to waste time effectively. Fair play. I'm very impressed. What about you?
Yeah, no, I mean, I loved what I saw there. It definitely felt like that this was a good, almost like audition for the match with Atletico, which I think it's going to be that type of game. I think early on, Atleti's going to come out trying to equalize early, you know, get that quick goal to then kind of like settle down the tie and not have them have to play too open at the back. I think, you know, the first 20 to 25 minutes is going to be really important for us to keep them off the scoreboard. If we're able to do that, I think they will start to, one, tire. Two, they will start to just be, you know, more vulnerable on the counter, which I think that we'll be able to hit them on and maybe get that quick, you know, second goal ourselves and then be able to shut it down and just end it for them. And we saw, now, I'm not saying Bologna is obviously at the same level of Atletico, but given the way Atletico played against Cadiz, I don't know if there's really any reason for us to truly be...
I was going to say, I'm not sure Bologna are really that far away from Atletico right now.
Yeah. But I think that's good, though, that we were able to obviously grind out this match and end it with a 1-0 win. Another, you know, clean sheet for Sommer, who I think, if I'm not mistaken, is 4 games away from breaking the record, or tying the record at least. 4 clean sheets away. It's either 4 or 5, but still, I mean, he is, you know, he made the saves that he had to make, which is all you could really expect from your goalkeeper. But he was just such a calming presence even back there too, you know, settling the boys down, knowing when to kill time, knowing how to kind of just reorganize from the back. I love him. You know, I mean, I know people are already making jokes about Onana coming back on a cheeky loan. I don't even see the point, to be quite honest. I think you need to be looking at somebody else. I'm sold on Bento, but I wouldn't be upset with Di Gregorio or something. But regardless, yeah, it was great to see us be able to grind this out. And I think that gives us confidence going to, you know, the Wanda and being able to, you know, if we are, let's say, 0-0 in the 65th minute, I think that they will be calm and mature and be able to handle that onslaught that may be coming. You know, there are rumors that Griezmann might not play. I don't know if that's been updated or not. He was practicing, so I don't know if that's just Simeone playing, you know, chess games, which, listen, good on him. But if he's missing, that's a big guy to be out for that match. But I even if he is there, I feel confident just after what we saw today that we would be able to handle that. What do you think?
I want to see the exact same game plan today that we in the Metropolitano. You know, start off going toe to toe, really start forcing the issue, try to score 1 or 2 goals. If you don't get it, then you got to close up shop at some point. And I'm confident this team can do it. I mean, I hope this isn't like Porto last season, because I nearly had a heart attack. That was rough. But, you know, I think this team can be even better and calmer than that. So, look, there's a chance we fuck this up, because this team might not be as good in knockout competitions as last season. But I'm pretty confident.
Now, do you think that's because maybe like we don't have the depth up front that we had? And I mean specifically a guy like Edin Dzeko, who's able to, one, score, I mean, worldly goals from just one moment of brilliance. He doesn't need a lot of touches. He's able to, whether it's getting on, you know, a left-footed strike off a volley on the corner, whether it's just heading it, or, you know, being a much more composed and better finisher than what we have in terms of, you know, Sanchez and Arnautovic. Or do you think there's other things that might be missing from last season as opposed to this year?
Honestly, it could just be mentality-wise. That would be my first thing. Because when you start the season and you say, our goal is to win the Scudetto, period. Right? If I'm a player in that squad, I know where my priority lies, because we stated our goal, right? You know, I'm not saying the Champions League isn't a priority. It is. But Scudetto was clearly number one. And I think that's it, more than depth here, depth there, depth, you know, we have Alexis and not Lukaku or whatever. I think that this is making the difference more than any of that.
I think my only counter argument to that is we've pretty much wrapped up the league. There's no shot we're losing it. And I think that now these guys could be like, all right, we got that. We can dream a little bit bigger. Like, there's no reason to doubt. Like, I think they, in that locker room, look at each other and like, we are better now than we were last year. And I mean, you see fans of, like, I've seen guys who are fans of Real Madrid. I've seen fans of Bayern Munich. I've seen fans of even Manchester City who say they do not want any part of Inter in the next round, and that they are actively rooting for Atleti, not because of any other reason except they want to avoid Inter. And I truly think, yes, we haven't looked the most convincing in Europe by any means. I think that's partially because, yeah, like, same thing, we've been focusing on the league, but two, we also were kind of just coasting through the group. You know, like, nobody really was taking it too seriously. I think now that, you know, we have the quarterfinals within 90 minutes, I think it's going to be a different Inter coming out for this matchup. And yeah, I feel confident. I could see both sides. I would never be like, oh no, someone's wrong for thinking it's going to be, not that I think it's going to be easy, but thinking that, you know, there's a possibility we go out. But I feel confident that we are going to move on to the next round. And I don't think there truly is a team left in the UCL that makes me go, I want to avoid them. I really don't think that we would struggle with Man City, especially over two legs. You know, I think that that gives us a bit of an advantage, in my opinion. You know, even Real Madrid isn't the beast that they were in years past. You know, I mean, obviously their key guys are a little bit older. They don't have a clear center forward who is really, like, just scoring goals. But anyway, I'm getting too far ahead of myself there. But yeah, we see this match, this tie out. We end it 1-0, another 3 points for the boys. You know, we had Bisek with the basketball celebration. So, you know, the joke was, you know, Bisek for three, because he got us at 3 points. Love that. 18 points cleared. Like, do you see any reason for the guys to not just be heavily rotating in the league, at least, and then maybe focusing more on these UCL ties and, you know, kind of preserving, you know, I'm sure they're going to still allow, you know, start the main guys, but I think they're going to be pulling them off personally, you know, a little bit sooner and saving them now for the rest of the tournament.
Yeah, you know, looking at, you know, if we, let's say we get past this round, hypothetically. Okay. Look at the schedule after the international break, after Napoli. And this was one of the things that made me a little more confident when it was closer between us and Juventus.
Mm-hmm.
This is what made me a little bit more confident that we could do this, because Juventus' schedule after the international break was significantly harder than our schedule after the international break. I think after the international break, we're facing Udinese, Empoli, and Cagliari, something like that. And it's like, you can rotate in those games. There's no reason you can't. I mean, and you can rotate and still probably win all of them, be expected to win all of them. Those are awful teams. I think from here on out, I see no reason why rotation shouldn't be a priority.
No, I completely agree. With the same things that you said, you know, seeing how our season, even compared to how it ended last year for us, you know, we have such easy ties. Even like when we were within 4 points, or Juve was within 4 points of us, I thought the same thing. I'm like, hey, like, even if we keep it as is, our end of the season is going to be way easier than theirs. Like, as long as we don't drop points to teams that we're not supposed to, I think the Scudettos are, I mean, now I know the Scudettos are. It's like, I mean, we have 18 points on them, 20 points on Milan. I think it was like 31 points on Napoli even that I saw, which I thought was like insane. I am very confident and comfortable with our standings. And I definitely see that. Yeah, I think except for Sommer and Lauti, just because I want to see if they can, you know, if he can get to the goal record, it would be nice to have him give it a little bit of a run. And Sommer to get the clean sheets record. That's kind of the only things that I would want to see. But if they wanted a rest, I wouldn't be like, oh, you know, terrible idea or anything. But let's go through this lineup and kind of see, you know, what kind of match ratings we give to the boys. Do we even have to really say anything for Sommer? It wasn't really anything crazy.
No, he did make the good save on Xerxes, mm-hmm. In the second half. But other than that, I mean, he saved a long-range shot from Ferguson in the first half. Other than that, you know, he was just very solid, composed. great. I love summer.
Yeah, I would probably go like 6 out of 10 for me. Nothing too crazy or to worry about back there. Pretty standard standard match for him. He's more of a spectator, it feels like, lately, than really having to do anything too serious. You know, let's go with the center backs. Let's start with maybe the guy who was, not that he did anything poor, but probably compared to the other two that we're going to talk about, the least exciting. Acerbi, I mean, again, really good, really solid in as a defender. He is really like a beacon of consistency back there as well. I feel like that he just does everything that you expect from your center back. He's very vocal, very good at communicating with his partners there. I would probably go like a 6.5 really out of 10. What do you think?
Yeah, 6.5 makes sense. He didn't do anything that was like, whoa. But also, mm-hmm. he just did his job. That's what Acerbi does. I mean, yeah,
exactly.
What's no shift?
Let's go with.
Yeah.
Sorry. What?
No, that was it. Just, yeah, he's great. Yeah.
All right, let's go to the left-sided guy, who is Alessandro Bastoni. Beautiful assist on the goal for Bisek. He had another one that he kind of got in there. Although Bisek was called offside, he wasn't able to get to it, but it was another brilliant cross in there. I thought he was solid defensively, really, really good on the ball, really good at everything else that he had to do. His passing was spot on, it felt like, for the most game. I'm not like Alessandro where I have his numbers ready, but to me, I would be surprised if he had anything lower than like 95% in passing completions. I would give him let's go with a 7. I think a 7 out of 10 is the performance I see for Bastoni. What about you?
Yeah, for that cross, 7 out of 10 is fair. I gave the ball away a couple times. That's why it's probably not higher. But for the cross and for his overall performance, 7 out of 10 is absolutely more than fair.
Awesome. And now to our young German rookie stud center back that cost us peanuts, Jan Aurel Bisek. I'm gonna go with a 7.5. Actually, I'm gonna go with an 8. I think he deserves the 8. He was just a rock at the back. The goal was beautifully taken. I don't even know how you could actually look at this kid and not think like, oh man, like he's starting in every other team's back line. He just has the unfortunate
100%.
Yeah, he's just unfortunate to be playing for Inter. That's the only thing that's preventing him from being in every match starter. But when he has taken the opportunities, he's not let us down. And I am thrilled that we have him for such a cheap price. So yeah, for me, 8 out of 10.
8 out of 10. 7.5, 8 out of 10. He, for me, okay, because of his age, I think he's only still like 23.
Yeah, he's 23.
He has so much room for growth, and that's what's so exciting. Like, this guy can be a monster. For years to
I was trying to like bait Liverpool fans with saying that he's like 19, but no Liverpoolians took the bait. But anyway, yes, 7.5, 8 out of 10. I mean, I'm giving him the 8 just because I thought he was awesome. Let's go to the wingbacks now. Augusto, only 45 minutes. It looked like he really wasn't himself. I don't know if that was maybe he did kind of have like a little hard collision. I forget who it was with, but it looked like he kind of went down a little rough, on the outside of the 18 year there. Not sure if that played into his coming off early. It's kind of hard for me to give him a score, but I mean, I would say maybe like a 5.5. Nothing too great to write home about. What would you say?
Maybe a 6. 6-ish, 5.5. Yeah, I it's hard for me to judge him too harshly because of the injury. I don't know when the injury happened. So because of that, I would probably go 6.
Fair enough. Yeah, let's go to Darmian, who played most of them. I think he played the full 90, actually. For me, with him, you know, another one where it's like nothing too glaring, nothing too exciting. Very matter of fact, he's just... I forgot. I think it was my cousin who said he's like the color beige, just consistent, nothing too exciting to the room, but nothing that'll like make you not want to stay there. He's just like comforting in his own way. And I think that's a mean but also perfect description of Matteo Darmian. He does everything that you expect him to do. You know, every now and then he'll make a mistake, but he is good to recover. I think he is even what he lacks in pace, he makes up for with his mind in terms of whether it's cutting down angles on guys and kind of like preventing them from being able to deliver their final ball. I would say a six for him. You know, nothing. I think the miss opportunity where even getting on goal, I think that obviously would have bumped him up if he was able to score. But yeah, just good old reliable Matteo Darmian.
Yeah, I love him. He had some good runs in behind. I was the one for the goal. He should have probably scored. But overall, yeah, he's at the color beige. but no, I just a solid professional performance from him.
Yeah, no. And did I see correctly? Did you say he was your favorite player?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he just, you know, I think the reason I like Darmian so much is because he's not flashy. He does his job. Mm-hmm. And he just, you know, I guess we like our favorite players are the players we relate to the most, right? On a human level. I guess I kind of relate to him on that way too. You know, he's very unheralded, but he keeps his head down and keeps going. So yeah.
I think that statement couldn't have been more true because obviously, you know, it's no secret, Barella's my favorite player. I think we both have a bit of a hothead in tendencies and can be a little overly passionate with certain things. So, I think that statement definitely rings true for me, at least. And let's hop over to the midfield and my boy, Nicolò Barella. Not the best performance. I mean, kind of meh on a lot of levels. You know, you expected better on the opportunity to score. Passing wasn't terrible, but it wasn't, you know, he did have some misplayed balls that, you know, he just missed Thuram on one ball that would have had him clear, not clear on goal, but at least, you know, in space. And he had another one, if I'm not mistaken, trying to get it out wide to Agosto, which he just hit Lewis Ferguson pretty more directly than if he was going for Agosto. I'd say like a 5.5, you know, I mean, maybe 6 if you really want to be a little more generous. But yeah, just kind of typical of his season, you know, nothing too exciting, a little underwhelming at times, but again, he's still, the effort is never lacking though. That I think that's what I like though. You never see him just give up. You never see him just totally, you know, throw in the towel and just want to, you know, come off the pitch. He leaves it all out there. Whether or not it's a great performance, that's obviously different, but he still was going for it. So yeah, I'd say 5.5 though.
I, you know, when Barella has performances like this, it's always tough for me to give him below a 6. And that's because of just the effort is never lacking. You know, he puts in the hard yards every time. He does so many things that are incredibly difficult for people like us to do. And he makes it so easy. Like, he's incredible. And even just your average football, he does things that are just like so hard. He just makes it look like so easy. So with performances like this, it's hard for me to even give him below a 6 most of the time. So that's just my perspective.
Yeah, no, and that's totally fair. I think that's a great way to put it too. You know, I think we as fans, we think it's so easy, or we think it should be done this way. And, you know, a lot of us have not played, definitely not at that level. So it is a little, it's just funny for it to be critical. I could even say it about myself towards Dumfries. You know, like I would never be in the Serie A. So for me to get all worked up and bothered by it, that is a great way to put it.
In fairness, his touch is horrendous, but you know,
I will say I think at least my touch would be better than his. I would not be able to run for 90 minutes up and down on the right wing. I probably would have needed a sub at 15. But yeah, the rest of it, I think my touch and my crossing would be a little bit better than his. That's all I'll say. And now Hakan, he gets to come back into the starting 11. Good to see him back. I think this was really more to see where his you know, fitness levels are at and to kind of get him ready for the match with Atleti. Again, another one where it's not too crazy, nothing to write home about. I would say a 6, you know, for him as well. A few opportunities where I thought that he was a little, I don't want to say lazy, but just like with his, normally he's quick to want to push the pace and want to like just start the attack. I felt like he was a little bit more maybe cerebral is the right word, just overthinking things out there and trying to maybe reacclimate himself with the other guys, which kind of led to some either some turnovers or even being stripped from behind. You know, there was one time specifically in the first half where I believe Lewis Ferguson was able to sneak in from behind him and just kind of take the ball off his feet. But yeah, I still think that he did a good job for the most part, and I'm happy to see him out there. And I'm, you know, I think that he will just continue to kind of grow back into it and get back to what we were seeing from him or even early in the season.
Yeah, you know, I think this match was really to get his legs back under him after being out for a short period of time. You could kind of tell because Inzaghi took him off right at the 60th minute. It was just like, this is all you're doing today. It's almost like they talked about it beforehand. And so I can't really judge him too hardly. A six is probably about right. He wasn't his best match, but this was clearly just trying to prepare for Athletic. That's what there was. So.
Yeah, no, I agree 100% with you there. And now let's go to the last guy who starts in the midfield trident, Henry Mkhitaryan. I'd say, yeah, 5.5 as well. You know, nothing too flashy or exciting about his game at all. In my opinion, I would say he was probably the worst of the midfield three. And not saying that he was like terrible by any means, but I think that just underwhelming in some aspects. And I think actually just pulling up the stats now, he did have the worst pass completion percentage of the three midfielders. I don't think his numbers are usually any better than the other two typically himself. You know, had an opportunity, I think, to kind of release Thuram on a clean on goal chance there in the first half as well. Misplayed the ball. I almost didn't know who he was looking at with the way that ball was played, but it is what it is. 5.5 for me. You know, again, nothing that led to any clear-cut opportunities for Bologna to go the opposite direction. You kind of get what you get with him at this point. You know, the effort, again, like the rest of our guys, is never lacking. It just, I think age is starting to catch up with him in some aspects. You know, you're kind of seeing a little bit of what we saw with Edin Dzeko, where it's like using him too much. You get less and less from the performances. And I'm hoping that now with the way we have the lead, that he gets a little bit more rest. You know, I would love to see Fratesi get some more starts here down the stretch to, one, be able to just kind of grow into it. And two, if you're going deep in the Champions League, potentially, he's going to be important to have later on, obviously throughout the rest of the tournament with his veteran leadership and his experience. So, yeah, that's kind of where I'm at with Henrik. What do you think?
I'm wondering if maybe it started to hit him a little bit, the workload. That with someone, you know, he takes exceptional care of himself, but even someone who takes exceptional care of himself, it will catch up to you at his age. All I will say on this for the future, looking forward to next season, is I think with Zielinski coming in and with Fratesi probably getting more minutes, he will look better in more limited appearances. Maybe he'll start more at the beginning of the season, but as things start coming along, he will look better in the more limited appearances that we see him. I'm confident of that.
I agree with you 100% on that. I'm excited with that signing as well. But yeah, we'll see what happens. I think that's going to be the game plan though going into next season. And now our two forwards, Alexis Sanchez and Marcus Thuram. Sanchez had a little bit of a brilliance there on the right side of the 18. You know, it looked like vintage Alexis, not even the one that we saw at Udinese, but maybe the one we would really seen at Arsenal. Great touch there, and then a back heel to Barella, which led to a decent cross into the box that unfortunately we were able to get on the end of. But I mean, it was nice to see. It feels like he's kind of growing into the season more himself. I was very disgusted and disappointed with him early on in the season. I'd say his last two or three appearances, though, have been very good. And I mean that compared to like the standards we were seeing from him, not like that he's been this player that's like, oh my gosh, this is, you know, vintage Alexis. But yeah, definitely better from him. I would give him, you know, a 6.5 based on his performance. I, you know, I wish that there would have been maybe more chances for him to get in on goal. Although maybe that you know, that's part of the game plan. It felt like he was more of like a facilitator than really being a focal point on the attack. And it kind of gets a little weird to me when you have two guys who are more, Thuram is more of a facilitator as well, and then you kind of got them almost like neither one of them wants to take advantage of this opportunity. But yeah, happy with what I saw from Alexis for sure. I think that now, obviously, with the injury to Arnautovic, there's going to be more minutes available to him, more chances to be able to have an impact, and I hope that he continues like this.
Yeah, you know, I think with Alexis and Thuram playing together, they both like to kind of drop deep at times and make runs into the channel. And it was kind of tough because when you have two players who like to do the exact same thing, they can get in each other's way. And you saw that at times, but they made it work. And yeah, so I'd give him a 6.5. I mean, let's put it this way. You were disgusted by Alexis during the season. I said he was worse than Arnautovic. I mean,
I agreed with you, and, yeah. And people looked at me like I was insane, and I was like, what are you seeing that I'm not seeing that I would like to know? And I couldn't get answers from that, but and it's not saying that Arnautovic is doing anything good. You know, it's just, you're just comparing your two guys that are off the bench. I mean, in retrospect, I wish we still had Dzeko over any one of them.
100%.
I mean, just look at what he's doing. I mean, granted, yes, it's the Turkish league. Not that, like, he's going up against anything, you know, that is truly impressive in defense and in net, but he's still scoring at a great rate. I think that now with Thuram, especially since he has been healthier than what we had, you know, from Lukaku last season, Dzeko wouldn't have had to been run into the ground like he has the last 2 years with us. It would have been nice to have him there and being able to be off the bench, you know, the first guy off the bench. If he was the first guy off the bench, I think our gap would be even bigger. Two, like, Champions League, I would feel much more confident about, but it is what it is. These are the guys that we have. I know you're not, I'm not, none of us are really rooting against these guys.
Never.
It's just, we don't really have the deepest bench in terms of, you know, our frontline options, and we expect better from both our guys, and they're just not really able to do it. But hey, we are seeing improvement, at least from Sanchez. Arnautovic is kind of just staying the same, you know. Now he's hurt again, it looks like. Hopefully it's not too serious, because we don't really have a fourth option, although there are, you know, maybe you could use Buchanan as a fourth striker if you had to late in games. But yeah. Let's move on to Marcus Thuram there. First game back starting as well, after his little stint with the injury bug that, you know, so many of our guys seem to be picking up. I liked what I saw. I thought his pace looked good. I thought his movement was still just as good as it's been all season. Link up play. I mean, there was a one play in particular in the first half, which is nothing too big, but Xerxes was coming in to really defend him. He tried to get a tackle. Thuram was able to, one, out-muscle him, two, stay up on his feet and keep pushing right around the middle of the park there. I love that. I mean, he is so much more stronger than I thought he would be, to be honest. Not that I thought he was weak, but his ability to stay up, out-muscle guys who look a little bit bigger than him, and then continue to push, not just with the pace, but the power as well. I mean, imagine if this guy put on just a little bit of muscle too. Like, he would be, like, in my opinion, maybe like an absolute all-time monster physically. But yeah, what if anything did you notice differently about Thuram and kind of what would? Oh, actually, I would give him a 6.5 as well. But what would you give Tikus?
Yeah, 6.5. A very, very good performance, especially coming back. This is his first start after injury. Maybe a tiny, tiny bit rusty. But other than that, I liked what I saw. You know, just reflecting on, you know, watching him at Gladbach last season. You saw the strength, but I guess part of me still didn't recognize it. Because I guess I'll have to reevaluate this now, but I didn't rate Bundesliga defenders probably as highly. You know, I don't think many people do. So I thought
I think I'm the only fool who rates Bundesliga defenders. So
yeah. But it's just like, you know, after this, it's just like he was humiliating Bundesliga defenders too. He's humiliating Serie A defenders. So I have to kind of reevaluate my opinion of that now. But yeah, he was amazing. And yeah, so.
All right. And now who are you giving your man of the match to for this tie?
It was a difficult one. I would give it to Bisek. I think he was fantastic at both ends of the pitch. And for me, you could make the case that maybe it should be Bastoni, but I would give it to Bisek. I'd give it to Bisek.
I would agree 100% with you. I just think that, yeah, even when Bisek makes a mistake, his speed allows him to recover, and he reacts instantly. He doesn't just, oh, there it goes. Like, you just let it go. No, he's like quick to just want to get back the ball, get back in front of his man, make sure that this guy doesn't have a clean opportunity on goal. And obviously the goal was gorgeous. So yeah, for me, it is Bisek. Loved it. And yeah, 1-0 win, 18-point lead in the table. It feels like it's all but wrapped up for us. I am so, so happy to be able to just, I don't remember a season, to be quite honest, where it's been this easy in the league.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, like I've been watching since 2002. My gosh, like even the team with Mancini, where we only lost one game in the league, I don't think was this easy. I mean, granted, that season, if I'm not mistaken, that was actually
the Calciopoli season, right?
Yeah, that was the Calciopoli season. I you don't have the same level of competition. So this team, to me, is just what Inzaghi has them doing and how they're performing. And it doesn't matter who is standing in our way. We are dispatching them, no problem. I think the only game where I was kind of nervous, and it was because it's Juve, was that game with Juve. Because you just never know if some stupid penalty is going to be called, if some fluke goal is going to ping pong in the box and then, you know, end up on Vlahovic's foot. Like, that was the only one that I thought maybe something could happen. However, like, it just feels like every game I am confident. And I don't remember a season where I'm like, oh, we're going to win this game. Oh, we're going to win this game. Like, every game, I feel like we are truly going to win. And even when we play poorly, we win. And to me, that's just a testament of the champions that we are. So
it's awesome. Yeah. I don't know about you, but I'm having so much fun this season.
Oh, same.
It's been awesome. So
yeah, like I truly like have to like stretch to find something to complain about in this season. And I really can't think of something where I'm like, oh, this, like I'm disappointed with this, you know, with Inzaghi or this, like, and maybe like, you know, I say things about Dumfries more so to troll Julian than really being upset with Dumfries. But people like really get like worked up about Arnautovic, worked up about Sanchez and stuff. And it's like, guys, we're still winning. Like, yes, they're not playing great, but we are still winning. Like, I would be upset if they cost us games. Like, that's that you could totally understand it and get on board with. We are still winning. We haven't lost a game in 2024. I honestly feel like we may not lose a game in 2024. Like, it's entirely possible. Like, it is incredible what we are doing. And I think we as fans are spoiled in some aspects. And we need to enjoy this for what it is. Like, this is an incredible season. And we shouldn't be like, if they play poorly, but we get 3 points, there's no reason to be upset.
You know, even when I see people complaining, and I understand this to some extent, about the lineups and not rotating enough, you know, it's like, that's a bit of a spoiled argument in some ways, because it's like, you know, I can say what lineup I prefer, but at the end of the day, Inzaghi's seen them in training. He's got the data on their physical aspects. Like, I trust him, and I'm going to defer to his judgment. So
exactly,
really, that if you're spending so much time complaining about like, oh, well, we haven't rotated enough. Well, you know, that's, enjoy the ride a little more is all I'll say.
100% agree. Like, yeah, like that's how I look at it too. Like, yes, I may not like that whatever X player is starting this game, but at the same, just like you said, Inzaghi's the one watching them in practice every day. He's with them. He's talking to them. He knows, like, if, hey, maybe his like shin or his calf is bothering him, and he's like, you know, I don't want to go too hard, and maybe, you know, rotate this game, and I'm available for 30 minutes off the bench, whatever, you know, like, he's having the conversations with them. He's having the conversations with Fares. He's having a conversation with the trainers. He knows this team better than we do. We are all fans, and we're all, yes, I'm not saying you're not entitled to an opinion. That's not what I'm saying. But like, we're seeing it from a fan's perspective. We're not seeing it as the manager of Inter Milano. And I defer to him for everything. He can, whatever he says, I'm going to be okay with at the end of the day, especially if we're going to be continuing to win. And yeah, let's just enjoy this season for what it is, man.
100% agree. This is the best season I think many of us could have ever hoped for.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's definitely the best season since the treble year, but even in the league, it was not comfortable in the league.
No.
The Coppa Italia was a whirlwind, and we barely beat Roma. Like, Roma played fantastic that game.
I watched that final, yeah. They were really good.
Yeah, I mean, Totti had some chances, and I'm, you know, but he's my favorite player in Serie A who never played for Inter for a reason, you know, so. And then, you know, obviously the Champions League, I mean, the tough matchup was Barcelona, and we all know how that played out. But I remember that second leg, I was on the couch at my dad's house, just like freaking out, watching the whole thing, flipping out over Sergio Busquets, panicking over that curler from Messi outside the box that Julio Cesar made a fantastic fingertip
save
on.
That's one of the best saves of all time, in my opinion.
I would have to agree with you, and even if you look at it from taking Inter out of the picture,
absolutely,
if that was
yes.
him on the Brazilian national team, I would have said the same thing. Brilliant. And just to come away there, and then obviously we know how it ended. I mean, but this season, if we were able to do it, forget about Coppa Italia, if we're able to do break the record for points in the league and then also just somehow win the Champions League, I would be willing to make an argument that this season is more impressive than the treble winning season.
Oh, I agree, especially because of the situation the club is in compared to them.
Yeah.
100%.
If you factor all that in, you factor in to like just how much more competitive the rest of Europe is, how much more money the EPL has, really. And to be able to overcome all that, plus with our, like you said, our financial limitations, I mean, we kind of knew we were going to punt the Coppa Italia after winning it the last 2 years. We kind of saw that. Like, there was no incentive for us to like go for the treble. It was really just focus on the league, get the second star. That was the most important objective. But now you have the opportunity to break the record on points, which, my goodness, like, I thought Bologna would be a game that we trip up on, whether we get a draw. To get 3 points from that one, I mean, 105 is definitely possible. It really is.
I didn't want to bring it up, but yeah. I mean, just look at the remaining schedule. I mean, the only match left that really scares me that could be a trip is Milan, because even Lazio is like the second to last game of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And by that point, they should probably be out of everything and their players won't give a damn. So the Derby della Madonnina is it. Like, and even then, even if they lose that, it's 102. 102 is a great season.
It is. That's like, insane. I won't be upset if we don't get it.
Yeah.
I would like to.
Yeah, of course.
But I won't be like, oh, what a letdown. Oh, you know, like,
yeah.
What we're seeing is unprecedented in Serie A. And, you know, people trying to make excuses like, oh, the league is weaker. Napoli, you know, let go of Spalletti. What? It's still the same team. Like, outside of Kim Min-jae, like, the real problem was, like, who they hired. I don't think it's so much so that Spalletti left. I think it was who they chose to replace him. Just other clubs fans are making the craziest excuses, but
well, the thing
it
too,
is what it is.
Yeah, yeah. Just one last point, but the thing too is that look at how these clubs are performing in Europe, right? Roma just thrashed Brighton. All the Italian teams are going to go through.
Brighton would win, you know, top four in Serie A easily.
Of course,
so.
If you ask Dougie Critchley or whatever his name is.
Dougie Critchley?
Yeah, something like that.
What grown man calls himself Dougie? That's just, anyway.
Exactly. But it's just like, look at how you're doing in Europe. Like, this is not a weak league at all. quite a good league, actually. It may even be the best in Europe, just looking at coefficient. But yeah, so this is damn impressive.
Yeah, no, nah, and let's enjoy this season, guys. I mean, who knows when we'll see another season like this from this club. Not saying that we won't be winning titles, but I'm just saying, like, a season like this, like, in a, with historic runs. You know, I think we could even maybe even challenge our own record of most consecutive wins in Serie A, which I think we had at 17. And we're at what, 10 or 11 now? I think it's 11 now.
I think it's 11. Yeah, I think it's 11.
Yeah, 11. So, I mean, that's a very realistic possibility as well. But yeah, Joe, anything that you want to plug? And, you know, obviously we know where we can check you out on Twitter, but any new episodes coming out for Brothers of the World? Or
we'll see. We're working on scheduling right now, so we'll take a look. We're hoping this gets started real soon. So
awesome, man. Yeah, no, well, I appreciate you hopping on, filling in for Alessandro. Guys, also doing another card giveaway for this match. I'm looking at one of the cards right now in front of me, the Jan Bisek rookie card that I'm going to be giving away since he did score the winner. I wanted to do it, you know, regardless, but now this was just fitting. I also have a retro legend, Inter legend, that I'm going to include. I just got it today in the mail. I was like, you know what? Like, I want to give this away to somebody. I want to give this to a lucky listener. And I'm also going to include a Valentin Carboni rookie card as well. I'm not going to name the legend. Like, you're going to get this card, though, whoever wins this giveaway. And you're going to think, oh my gosh, how did he just give away this card? But yeah, that's what I want to do for you guys. Thank you so much for joining us on this ride. I'm going to quote the great Roberto Scarpini as Alessandro would. Forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi.